Welcome to Ohomani I Ōtaka. I am your host, Donna Hawkes, and this is our reading program at KDKO Radio, coming to you from Lake Andy, South Dakota. We are reading Hummingbird Squash, written by Terry Lofton. And just a reminder that this story, there's many stories in this book, and it's written to promote good, healthy activities and eating for the middle school age children. And really, for anyone who's listening to this. So let's get started. Hummingbird sat at the breakfast table, staring at the bowl of oatmeal. She had not slept well and kept rubbing her eyes. Although she was trying to be brave, the disappointed girl was not thinking positive thoughts. All she could think about was the gossip she had heard in the restroom, at school, and the laughter in the cafeteria. Hummingbird had never been the butt of jokes before, nor had she ever been suspended. Arianna noticed her friend's lack of appetite. She tried to think of something perky that would cheer her up. "Bird, I heard that Janie's mom is having one of those makeup parties at her house. We could go and get some of those little samples." Hummingbird picked a raisin out of the oatmeal with her spoon. She looked at the wrinkled brown fruit as if it were some kind of bug. Disgusted, she plunked the spoon in the cereal and pushed the bowl aside. No, they probably wouldn't want the soap bomber to spoil a party. Darlene, who had just come into the kitchen, overheard her daughter. "Well, I think that you girls should come to the store with me. Arianna, Rain's mom gave me some new recipes that are low carb. Check them out and see if it's stuff you would like. Then, what do you say we go over to Chick's and help her with her garden? I told her we might come over. It's a pretty day." Arianna always liked to try out new recipes and was eager to go. The grocery store didn't have much appeal to Hummingbird, but she agreed to help her mother shop. Unenthusiastically, she pulled on her sweater and slumped to the car. The drive over to Medicine Cave Plaza wasn't far. Darlene always shopped at the tribally owned retail center. She believed in a dollar being touched several times before it left the reservation. By the time they arrived at the store, Arianna had thumbed through Roberta's recipes and had selected two, which she gave to Darlene. A cherry tart with only 23 grams of carbohydrates and a chicken enchilada recipe with 26 grams. She was always thinking about carbohydrates. She paid attention to the simple ones like table sugar that enter the bloodstream very quickly and raise blood glucose levels. She also was very aware of starches in foods like white bread that boost blood sugar levels almost as fast as table sugar. To keep an eye on her glucose levels, Arianna had to do several finger sticks a day. She had a little sticker that she used to prick her finger. After a drop of blood appeared, she would put it on a special strip of paper and insert it into the blood glucose meter that fit in the palm of her hand. The meter had a small screen that displayed a number that told her how much glucose was in her blood. Arianna's blood sugar could vary from low to high. If it was high before lunch, she would eat a low-carb meal. If it was low when she got home from school, she would eat a high-carb snack. She had to work at keeping her body healthy all day long. Arianna organized her shopping list carefully. She needed a variety of foods that would help to keep her blood sugar in proper balance. For snacks, she loved crackers and part skim milk cheese, all kinds of fruits, especially berries, and she was a big fan of celery and low-fat cream cheese. While Arianna went in search of her favorite snacks, Hummingbird got a cart and followed her mother to the produce. They picked over the fruits and vegetables. Because the reservation was very rural, produce that wasn't in season or grown locally had to be trucked in. It was often expensive and not very fresh. Nevertheless, they found some decent bananas, oranges, and green peppers on sale. Picking up a plastic bag of grapes, Hummingbird noticed a small boy staring into her shopping cart. She recognized him. It was Donnie, one of the elementary school children who rode her bus. He looked up at her with a puzzled frown. "You've got a lot of stuff." Hummingbird looked back into the boy's big brown eyes. She just nodded and smiled. Feeling a bit guilty, she didn't know what to say. "I like grapes," Donnie said, smiling. He reached into the fruit bin and picked up a large bag of grapes with both hands. He glanced over his shoulder at Hummingbird as he walked toward his mother, a harried young woman with a fussing toddler. She had no cart, only a handbasket that contained two loaves of day-old bread and some cartons of ramen noodles. "Mom, can we get these?" the boy asked quietly. "Put those back, Donnie." "But Mom, they cost too much. I've run out of food stamps. It's the end of the month." "You got any WIC vouchers?" She sighed. "Yes, but that's for formula, nothing else." The boy didn't beg. He replaced the fruit and tagged along with his mother to the baby food. Hummingbird abandoned her shopping and followed them. From a distance, she watched to see if they would buy anything else. When Donnie and his mother headed to the checkout, Hummingbird began to circulate throughout the store. She peeped into shopping carts and observed what was being bagged at the cash register. Several times she picked up discarded shopping lists and coupons. Finally, Hummingbird sat down in an empty chair in front of the customer service desk. An idea, a big idea, was forming in her brain. Something wild, the ultimate what if. Hummingbird was staring straight ahead when Darlene interrupted her churning thoughts. "Bird, we've been looking for you. Where did you go?" "Mom, everybody's just eating starch, 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 starch and sugar, starch and salt. Our families can't buy what they need. I've had it all wrong. I've got to find a way to speed it up, not all this slow stuff." "Speed up what?" "Growing vegetables. My science project is stupid. It'll take years for a healthy prairie to produce healthier meat for people. I've got to do something now." Exasperated, Darlene said, "Can we at least pay for our groceries first? Why don't you and Ariana wait for me outside?" Hummingbird took Ariana by the hand. "Come on, you're going to have to help me with this. I can't do it by myself." "Do what?" "Grow giant vegetables and grow them really fast." Darlene drove home to drop off the groceries before heading over to Aunt Chick's. She kept one eye on the road while glancing repeatedly in the rearview mirror at the Hummingbird and the Ariana. The girls had their heads together, conferring quietly but intensely. Words like fertilizer, compost, irrigate, and weeds floated out of their conversation. And occasionally, Hummingbird made big, round-shaped gestures with her arms. Darlene was sure that when they were ready, she would hear all about it. She didn't have to wait long. After they had unloaded the car and put away the groceries, Darlene saw Hummingbird look at Ariana as if to say, "Okay, here goes." "Mom, we have a plan. I'm going to keep right on with the science project, so don't think I'm dropping that. But I want to start a new project. My idea is to grow really big fruits and vegetables. If they're really big, then they can feed everybody. There would be summer and winter vegetables. That way, we could have some all year round." "Another project?" Darlene said doubtfully. What kinds of vegetables? I don't know yet. I promise I won't try to do it all by myself. I want to talk to Daddy about it, and Aunt Chick, too. I know that Rain, Boomer, and Simon will help. It will be my project, too, Aunt Darlene, Arianna said brightly. Darlene was skeptical, but she didn't want to discourage Hummingbird's ambition to make her community a healthier place. She could see that the girls working together would be a good thing, too. There would be time for hard questions and reality checks later. I'll talk to Daddy. I hope he'll help. He's so proud of you. But please, honey, don't think you girls have to solve all these food problems by yourself. Daddy and the guys at the Bison Co-op have been really successful this year. And he's worked so hard on the tribe's food sovereignty policy. That's all volunteer work. And he's done it because of you, Bird. Glancing at her daughter, Darlene saw the familiar look of determination that meant Bird's mind was made up. Well, we'll have to see what Chick says. Let's get what we need from the shed and head on over. After loading the truck with garden tools, Hummingbird enjoyed the short drive to Aunt Chick's. The road passed by green and yellow fields, edged by stands of red cedars and black locust trees. Hummingbird loved the eastern part of the reservation. Her family had ranched and done truck farming on this land for over 100 years. Bird spotted Aunt Chick sitting in the backyard when they drove up. She jumped out of the car, eager to recruit her aunt into the giant plan. Leaving Arianna to wrestle with a shovel that had wedged in the trunk, Hummingbird grabbed a hoe and charged to the back of the house. Darlene followed, carrying a box of flower bulbs. Hummingbird was pleased to see her mother sit down in one of Chick's old metal long chairs. Good, she thought. We can talk before we get to work. Thistle was snoozing in her nest when the chattering of human voices woke her. She had extremely sensitive hearing. Although her ears drooped down instead of standing erect like a wild rabbit. This odd transformation had occurred many, many years ago, when she had abandoned her homeland to follow the tribes to the west during the Great Removal. Since that time, she had lived in many places and near many nations. Once a member of a powerful trickster family, she had abandoned their wily and joking ways. Now she was proud to live as an animal helper, mostly to children. Yawning, Thistle sat up. She began nose blinking, that funny wiggling of the nose that everyone imitates when they want to act like a rabbit. Her powerful sense of scent confirmed that people were visiting Aunt Chick. She squeezed from her nest enclosure and hopped on top of the brush pile. From that perch, she easily identified the visitors. Ah, she thought to herself, I can do some listening for Skyheart. Thistle bounced down the slope of the hill, following the patches of bushy cover. She halted when she reached a fence overgrown with wild privet that bordered Aunt Chick's backyard. Nestling in the camouflage, Thistle focused on the human's conversation. Aunt Chick liked to be properly equipped. Before she started preparing one garden for its winter sleep and another for a winter crop. A great believer in electrical tape, glue, and never throwing anything away, she asked Hummingbird to repair some rusting spots on her old wheelbarrow. Pulling off a length of tape, Hummingbird launched her sales pitch. Aunt Chick, what do you know about giant vegetables? Well, nothing much, Bird. Just the giant pumpkins I've seen at the Harvest Powwow. Those are some whoppers, aren't they? Well, we're thinking of growing some. I thought you might let us use one of Grandpa's old garden plots. Maybe the one with the red fence around it? This isn't the time of the year to start growing a giant pumpkin, honey, or any other kind of pumpkin. They're being harvested now.
Oh, I know. I'm thinking of experimenting and getting ready for next year. So, the old shed might be perfect. You know, sprouting some seeds under a plant grow light, figuring out which seeds grow fastest, then get a head start and set out some seedlings by April or May. Maybe Ariana and I could grow some winter vegetables too.
Grandpa ran an electrical line out there to that shed years ago, Aunt Chick said. He used it for a workshop one time. But the electric doesn't work anymore. It will get mighty cold in that shed without a heater.
Boo could help us with the electricity, Bert said. He's got tons of secondhand stuff in his garage. And R.D., Boomer, and Simon can till up the garden.
Aunt Chick looked at Darlene. If she wants to work in the shed, it's fine by me. Those old cold frames next to the shed are in good shape. They keep the ground warm, good enough for some midwinter vegetables.
Bird jumped up. Come on, Ariana. Let's go over to R.D.'s house and tell him about the giant plan.
Hold on, girls, Darlene said. There's work to be done here first. Aunt Chick handed a rake to Hummingbird. Come on, ladies. Let's do some cleaning.
Thistle popped open her eyes as the human voices began to fade. She peered through a crack in the fence and watched the women and two girls walking toward a recently harvested garden. Thistle knew that plot well. She recalled with relish the tasty treats that she had eaten there. Naturally, as a rabbit, she supported the idea of growing giant vegetables. However, she heard nothing that would explain the odd behavior Skyheart had witnessed at the school the day before. Thistle was baffled. Skyheart had said Hummingbird was upset. Upset. The girl was positively cheery. Thistle frowned. Have I missed something? After raking the debris from Aunt Chick's vegetable patch, the girls took off. They followed the road for a short time and then detoured along Salt Lick Creek until they came to the meadow near Rain's house. Ariane challenged Hummingbird to a race across the expanse of tall yellow grass. The girls ran, laughing too much for it to be a real race, until they crossed Old Schoolhouse Road and reached the gravel driveway of Rain's little blue house. They heard singing and drumming. Running around to the backyard, the girls saw Rain and Boomer beating on an old wooden wire spool. Simon was laying on the ground listening. When Boomer saw them, he stopped and yelled, "How do you like our drum?" Hummingbird was fast with the compliments. "You guys are sounding pretty good." "Pleased," Boomer said to Rain. "See, I told you this old spool would work." Jumping right in, Hummingbird said,
Guys, I know you're practicing right now, but I wanted to talk to you about this really great idea I had. I thought you might want to help."
The boys looked at Bird like, "What now?" Glancing at Ariana for support, she said boldly,
"I think we should experiment with growing giant vegetables."
"Who is we?" Rain wanted to know.
"All of us. Look, if we want to get people to eat more fruit and vegetables, then we've got to grow more of it. But not little stuff. I'm talking about big stuff. Giant fruits and vegetables. Then we could feed everybody. You know, it would be like a shortcut."
Rain was confused. "Isn't your science project about helping native grass grow better so buffalo can graze on it and produce lean meat?" "That's about healthy food."
"Yes, of course. It is. And it's important to Miss Swallow's bison project and the bison co-op. But it's so slow. It could take forever to recreate native prairies, R.D.
"How do you grow giant vegetables?" Simon asked. "Have you read up on it?"
Cheerily Bird answered, "Not yet. I thought you could do that, Simon."
"Gee, thanks."
"Look," Bird continued, "Aunt Chick is giving us the shed and the garden for next spring and winter."
Boomer, whose throat was dry from singing, sipped a little cup of water and said, "Well, it sounds kind of crazy, but..."
Rain interrupted, "What gave you the idea?"
"When I was looking at people's shopping carts at the grocery store, they're just eating junk. The good food costs too much."
Bird stood up and crossed her arms. Fixing her friends with a firm stare, she declared, "And we are just sitting around doing nothing about it."
Rain stared back and crossed his arms too.
"You wouldn't be trying to impress somebody, would you?"
Simon picked up on what Rain was saying.
"Yeah, like Mr. Pants?
Getting back on his good side after the big blow-up?"
Miffed, Hummingbird yelped, "What? I'm just doing like the eagle told us."
Ariana gave Bird a funny look, a look that Simon didn't miss. He thought to himself, "I bet she's wondering what Bird meant by that."
"This shouldn't be about how smart you are, Bird," Rain said quietly. "If we agree to this, it should be because we really believe in it."
Bird was indignant. "Is that what you think I'm trying to do? Show off?"
Despite her protest, deep inside, Bird was asking herself the same question. "Is that what I'm trying to do?" Mom said almost the same thing.
"Yeah, it's perfect," Boomer laughed. "Mr. Pence would be a big dean fod for suspending the girl genius that grew the giant turnip."
Irritated, Ariana asked, "Why are you picking on her?"
"It's okay, Ariana," Hummingbird sighed. "They're just keeping me honest." Thinking more deeply about her motives, she confessed, "Well, yeah, it is kind of like I'll show 'em, and won't they be sorry for suspending me? It's not like I haven't thought of that. But I really do want to do this. I felt so guilty at the store. We had stuff in our shopping cart and other people didn't."
Rain got up and laid his drumstick on the make-believe drum.
"What do you guys say? Are we with Ariana and Bird?"
"I am," Boomer yelled. "I'm ready for something big around here besides Chris Sarl's mouth."
"I guess I could substitute a few thunder vegetables for thunder lizards," Simon smiled. "But just for a little while, of course."
"Then take us to your shed," Rain cried. As the kids walked the short distance to Aunt Chick's, Simon pulled Rain back and whispered, "Should we tell Bird about the coyote and the binoculars?"
Rain glanced up ahead at Hummingbird. She was almost skipping the way she was so happy.
"No, I think it would freak her out. Let's just be cool for a while."
Hummingbird turned around and yelled, "Hurry up, guys!"
Rain and Boomer ran to catch up. Passing by Aunt Chick's house, Hummingbird pointed across a recently harvested field. "The shed's behind that red fence over there." The kids cut directly across the stubbly ground. Soon they spotted the shed. It didn't appear that the fence had done a very good job of protecting it from the wind. The little building was a bit worse off than Hummingbird remembered it. Its unpainted wooden exterior was badly weathered. The roof sagged, and the two front windows were missing some panes. Hummingbird ran ahead and stood in front of the door, which hung on valiantly by a single hinge. She waited until the others joined her.
"Well, guys, this is it."
"Looks kind of creepy," Boomer said. "What does it look like on the inside?"
He tugged open the door and the kids entered, hopping over some tall weeds that clogged the doorway. Shafts of afternoon light slanted through the broken, dirty windows, dimly illuminating a small room. Leading the way in, Rain stepped gingerly around a clutter of rags and rotten cardboard boxes. Almost immediately, he bumped his head on an old cobweb-festooned light fixture that hung by a single cord from the ceiling. It swung crazily, spewing out a cloud of dust with each back and forth. Pulling cobwebs out of his hair, Rain returned to the circle, quickly assessing the possibilities. "It's going to take some work." Arianna nodded. "Yeah, the mice have been having a good time." Pointing at the droppings on the floor, she laughed. "There's your fertilizer, bird." Trying to be optimistic, Hummingbird smiled. "Yeah, all I have to do is sweep it up into a nice pile. Yuck! Well, at least it's got lots of shelves, and there's a table." Simon was carefully examining the walls and ceilings, looking for signs of water damage. "Doesn't look like there's many cracks, and it's dry in here." Reaching up to check a shelf that was coming away from the wall, he suddenly brought down an avalanche of dust that enveloped him from head to toe. Fighting for air, Simon erupted into a coughing fit that sounded like a barking dog. Boomer's face lit up. "Geez, Simon, when you laugh, you snort like a pig, and when you cough, you..." Simon interrupted. I know, he laughed. "Bark like Scooby-Doo." Rain grinned at Boomer. "Unless we want Simon to turn into a were-dog, we better clean this place up." "I need some air," Simon wheezed and hurried outside. The kids followed him out into the clean afternoon sunshine. They fanned out, seeing what else the property had to offer. Happily, Rain found a water spigot that worked. A godsend to Simon, who cleared the dust from his throat with a cool drink. Arianna stumbled on a box of glass jars and old clay pots, and Bird unearthed a half-buried roll of tough plastic sheeting, but they didn't find much else of use. However, moseying around the back of the shed, Boomer made a major discovery. Looking to where the open ground rose toward a hill covered in small bushes and weeds, he spotted the wooden pole that had linked the shed to the utility pole on the road. "Yo, I found where the electricity line comes in." Unknown to Boomer, the wooden pole lined up almost exactly with the location of Thistle's nest. He was actually staring directly at the rabbit, who was peering at him from a hole in her brush pile. With keen interest, she watched Boomer walk over to help Rain force open the garden gate. Then, as soon as the girls followed the boys to the garden, Thistle bounded down the hill again. She found a convenient weed clump nearby and huddled there, listening intently. Okay. We're going to stop there, and next week we'll pick it up and see what Thistle the rabbit is listening to in the kids' conversation. So I want to say, Pidamia, thank you to all the people out there who are listening to Ohomani Iotaka, our reading program here at KDKO Radio in Lake Andy, South Dakota. I am your host, Donna Hawkes, and I'm wishing you a week full of good health and happiness. So, doksha ake, we will meet again next week. This program is made possible with funding from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting.